to them. Therefore, the child is adapted to that constitution which is his at the present moment of childhood, not to that which will be his in youth. For even if there is in store for him any higher phase into which he must be changed, the state in which he is born is also according to nature. First of all, the living being is adapted to itself, for there must be a pattern to which all other things may be referred. I seek pleasure. For whom? For myself. I am therefore looking out for myself. I shrink from pain. On behalf of whom? Myself. Therefore, I am looking out for myself. Since I gauge all my actions with reference to my own welfare, I am looking out for myself before all else. This quality exists in all living beings, not engrafted, but inborn. Nature brings up her own offspring and does not cast them away, and because the most assured security is that which is nearest, every man has been entrusted to his own self. Therefore, as I have remarked in the course of my previous correspondence, even young animals, on issuing from the mother's womb or from the egg, know at once of their own accord what is harmful for them and avoid death-dealing things. They even shrink when they notice the shadow of birds of prey which flit overhead. No animal, when it enters upon life, is free from the fear of death. People may ask, how can an animal at birth have an understanding of things wholesome or destructive? The first question, however, is whether it can have such understanding and not how it can understand. And it is clear that they have such understanding from the fact that, even if you add understanding, they will act no more adequately than they did in the first place. Why should the hen show no fear of the peacock or the goose, and yet run from the hawk, which is a so much smaller animal, not even familiar to the hen? Why should young chickens fear a cat and not a dog? These fowls clearly have a presentiment of harm, one not based on actual experiments, for they avoid a thing before they can possibly have experience of it. Furthermore, in order that you may not suppose this to be the result of chance, they do not shrink from certain other things which you would expect them to fear, nor do they ever forget vigilance and care in this regard. They all possess equally the faculty of avoiding what is destructive. Besides, their fear does not grow as their lives lengthen. Hence, indeed, it is evident that these animals have not reached such a condition through experience. It is because of an inborn desire for self-preservation. The teachings of experience are slow and irregular, but whatever nature communicates belongs equally to everyone and comes immediately. If, however, you require an explanation, shall I tell you how it is that every living thing tries to understand that which is harmful, it feels that it is constructed of flesh, and so it perceives to what an extent flesh may be cut or burned or crushed, and what animals are equipped with the power of doing this damage. It is of animals of this sort that it derives an unfavorable and hostile idea. These tendencies are closely connected, for each animal at the same time consults its own safety, seeking that which helps it, and shrinks from that which will harm it. Impulses towards useful objects and revulsion from the opposite are according to nature, without any reflection to prompt the idea, and without any advice. Whatever nature has prescribed is done. Do you not see how skillful bees are in building their cells? How completely harmonious in sharing and enduring toil? Do you not see how the spider weaves a web so subtle that man's hand cannot imitate it? And what a task it is to arrange the threads, some directed straight towards the center, for the sake of making the web solid, and others running in circles and lessening in thickness, for the purpose of tangling and catching in a sort of net the smaller insects for whose ruin the spider spreads the web. This art is born, not taught, and for this reason no animal is more skilled than any other. You will notice that all spider webs are equally fine, and that the openings in all honeycomb cells are identical in shape. Whatever art communicates is uncertain and uneven, but nature's assignments are always uniform. Nature has communicated nothing except the duty of taking